Hades or ETQ?
No, not at all. We also have Sydney in with a question about Brazil in the text box. Sydney, I haven't. That's a pretty fur piece for a 6 meter opening. Again, KZQW Matt is our resident guru on the upper bands, but I think it would take a pretty interesting opening and media scatter to get that through. So, but if you stick around, maybe someone will have some information. 1 minute pause, and then we'll be rolling. AE5YC net control for Handyam TechNet. Standing by 1 second. Connected in the N50ZG repeater, and it just happens to be 7 o'clock by my clock. So. QST, QST, QST. This is Courage Center Handy Ham Radio Club's Thursday Night TechNet. And my name is Herb. My call is Alpha Echo 5, Thank You Charlie. I'm located down in New Orleans, Louisiana. And so I will be riding herd on this wonderful net that we've had over the last few weeks. Now, what is this, number 7? Jose would know. But before we get started, is there any urgent or priority traffic? Emergency or priority traffic? Go ahead. Nothing heard. All the better. Should something arise while this net is in progress, please signify with a double break or a triple break or emergency or send up a flare. Any way you want to get our attention, we will bring it to a halt. And see if we cannot help or at least get out of the way while you get help with whatever your situation is. This is a directed net, and we pass communicates through net control. This net works a little different than lots that folks are used to. We do it in a kind of a round table fashion. This is a technical net. You're welcome to stop in and say hello, we're having folks bring any hints, tips, questions, reviews of a technical nature about anything and everything, radios, antennas, transmission lines, computers, software, bring it. As long as it's technical nature, then we'll pass it around and see if the group can't come up with some answer. And as I used to say, even if I don't know the answer, maybe I can make something plausible up. Hi. The assistant net controller for the night is Jose, KK4JZX. And we've added a couple of our regulars, Riley, KL3RH, and Brad, KF7UTR, and the list, KD0ETQ. So if something were to happen, then y'all go down the line and figure out somebody to step in and replace, starting with Jose, tag, you'll be it. All right, well, to get things rolling, since Jose piqued my curiosity, saying he had a topic, I'm going to surprise him, KK4JZX. You start us off then and toss out a topic, my friend. 5YC, net control.
Good evening to everybody on the net, and this is KK4JZX. Firstly, I wanted to, I had two questions, and but I wanted to ask and actually mentioned that Hurricane Sandy has is in the Caribbean, and Jamaica was just hit, and Santiago the Cuba was hit as well. My brother-in-law has his mother over there. In part of that country, and it is now in the Bahamas. And my best to those folks over there, because it's a category 2 hurricane, especially in the Bahamas. One life lost in Jamaica, and one in Haiti, and now in the Bahamas. So. My best to those folks over there. The other question, the first question I have, actually, I've been having a situation with Echolink since a couple of weeks ago. And by the way, Herb, I think this is number nine on the TechNet. But I Echolink, what happens is it seems that since a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, I've had an issue with Echolink where it seems like it's the audio is pausing every time I press a key on the keyboard. So if I'm typing in Notepad, something happens with Echolink where it's pausing as if the audio is getting paused, and there's a break in between. And the more I type, the more it happens. And I don't know if anybody has an idea out there. That would be great. I've tried to close any processes that might be running and using up bandwidth. I've noticed that when I'm in the chat box and I'm typing text, it pauses as well. So anybody out there that can provide any suggestions would be great. KK4JZX.
All right, Zay, that's an interesting one. I don't recall seeing that myself. I've tried it on a multitude of devices that were discussing before the net, but hopefully there'll be somebody spring up along the path that has some insights. If nothing else, we'll think of stuff that you can try. You got to start off on one foot. I'll give you it. Yeah, just kidding. All right, we're taking check-ins to the Thursday night Handy Ham TechNet. My name is Herb. The call is AE5YC. Taking general check-ins now. Go ahead.
KD0ETQ. AC8HSY.
Echo Lima.
Kilowatt Lima 3, Romeo Hotel.
KF7UGR.
All right. Got a host of familiar calls in, and I'm glad to see it. That station that is talking about Brazil, Sydney, honestly, I have no clue about propagation between Brazil and the U.S. on 6 meters. I know that it's going to be predicated on what is going on up at the top of the ionosphere. If we've got a meteor shower going on or something like that, you might even do better getting the northern part of the U.S. Or southern Canada, well, not even northern Canada. Who knows? Some crazy stuff could be going on with the ionosphere. It's definitely possible. I know that there is Wortthal states on 6 meters, and I've heard of a well, continents. I'm not sure what all, but I'm probably there's a worked all everything on 6 meters. So my guess is that if you're persistent enough, tinker with them enough, and catch the wind blowing the right way, 6 meters will definitely make the trip. It wouldn't be something I'd rely on for day-to-day transmissions. So I hope that helps you out. Just want to get that out of the way because I saw you in the text box again there, and that's what I've got. If anyone else has any input on, you're very welcome. Any other input on 6 meter propagation, toss it in. So stick around and listen in on the net. You never know, Sydney, what you'll hear. All right, let's go up to the top of the list and get one of our original founding brothers. Phil, Katie's ETQ, it's your turn.
Okay, Herb, A5YC, in the net, KD0ETQ, Phil, and St. Louis. As Jose has an Echolink question, I want to throw an Echolink question out there, too. And as I'm looking at the right-hand side on Echolink of all of the list of people, as many as I show you, I notice on Jose's, there's a minus L. I know that's a link, and I believe it has to do with setting something up. I believe X to the minus R beta repeater. What I want to know, and I'm sure there's plenty instructions on the Echolink page, and I've read it, and I partially understand it, but don't totally understand it. The only thing, I've got a few computers. I've got one HT, the Bofang. What do you need to put a minus L at all, and what does it let you do? That's kind of my question. Jose was also talking about the Hurricane Sandy. We're working on weather over here. I'm also following it, and I noticed the latest advisory. It's 100 miles an hour, but it's now started making its north-north turn, which probably isn't good. I wasn't supposed to start making that turn until tomorrow. It's already started bending toward Florida. Most of the guidance show it staying offshore, getting close to the Carolinas, and then kind of heading out northeast for a while. But eventually, by the beginning, it bends back in. Almost all guidance has it hitting between Washington, D.C. and New York, as far as Boston. Problem with that is you got a cold air spilling in there at the same time. We could have another perfect storm going when it hits the northeast at the beginning of the week. So that we'll really have to watch. And also watch how far that northwest bend happens until it starts straightening out again. Just thought I'd throw that in there. So back over to net control. AE5YC, KD0ETQ.
All right. Phil's got a question about Echolink setup. I had to get that frog out of my throat. I have a little bit of information on that myself, but it's probably too little to toss in the hat at point, so we're going to toss that out to the group, and we'll see what feedback comes back, and especially since Jose already has a link, he can give you some more information, I'm sure. So Jose, if as we go down the check-ins, you want to jump in and address back to Phil on that issue, you know, we're really informal here around the TechNet. We're just rubbing two electrons together and looking for sparks. All right, let's say hello to Ronald, KHSY. Good evening. It's your turn on the net.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. That storm, like it could be a real, real bad one. It's already been bad enough. Hopefully it'll turn away and won't do that much damage here in the States. Nothing too exciting going on here, except we've had some beautiful, beautiful weather. My goodness, we've had, yesterday was in the lower 80s, today it was in the lower 80s here. And went out fishing last night for a while and caught a few fish. It was just really, really, just absolutely beautiful out in the lake. It was a gentle breeze. It was a little breezier than what I would prefer, but not too bad. And just beautiful here. We're somewhat in the middle of the woods. And, of course, the trees are all turning colors. I can't... can't see the trees, but my wife describes them to me because I remember when I could see when it was, how beautiful it was, the trees. We have huge, huge maple leaves. My goodness, some trees out here, maple leaves that are, oh gosh, I'm not exaggerating. They're close to a foot across them. They're just huge leaves. Just incredible. So anyway, that's it. Sounds like we got a good net going here and some good questions going. And, So I wish I had some good answers, but unfortunately I don't. I wish I could help you out, Jose, with that Echolink question. That's a puzzle. I don't know what would be causing that. So back to you, Net Control. Keep her going. This is K8HSY, the happy silly youngster. Over.
Yeah, real good there, Ronald. And you know, I thought I've always found fall beautiful. I grew up in Kentucky. Or at least in that general vicinity, Louisville, Kentucky, or Louisville, as we locals called it. And I loved that part, but then when the leaves all fall off and everything turns to black or white or gray, I used to get so depressed, that's one of the reasons I stay as far south as I can. If I went any farther south, I definitely have to have my rubber duck flippers on, etc. At least in Louisiana. But down here, winter's coming. It's going to be in the mid to upper 40s this weekend, and so everybody's bracing for the intense cold. Hi. Yeah, we are so spoiled. And you know, this hurricane reminds me that we had a December hurricane some time back. Don't ask me to try and dredge up out of my memory. Phil's probably got it at his fingertips someplace, but we did get hit with a December hurricane of all things 1 year. The latest hurricane that I ever remember had. So anyway, for checking in, Ronald, and hang around. You never can tell. You're almost as likely as anybody here, not almost, you're as likely as anyone here of pulling a good answer out. Just don't know what the question is yet. So hang around with us. Riley, my good friend, moving Riley, moving right along. I do not envy you, my friend. KL3RH, welcome to TechNet, my friend. Give us the pearls of wisdom. You might want to expound a little bit, Link. Jose's got that issue with audio pausing on key presses in any app, which is a little bizarre. And Phil would like a little information on what the Dash L buys him if he sets up Echolink. I've got some opinions, but I'm trying to keep my opinions to myself for a change. I am net controller. I'm supposed to stay out of the fray as much as possible. It's hard to ham talk. See? I'll time out before I run out of stuff to say. KL3RH, welcome, Riley. It's your turn.
Excellent.
Good evening, everybody. Oh, yeah, I'm moving right along. My body's all sore now. And tomorrow we're going to get all the good heavy stuff, like the freeze and the washer and dryer and the real heavy stuff. So we're going to do that tomorrow, yes. And then I think we're going to be just about done. As far as the Echolink, gosh, I did mine so long ago. I mean, I think you just go into SysOps settings and tell it you want a Dash L or Dash R. And then it's probably going to ask you to go back and register the Dash L or Dash R. And as far as benefits that I can see, unless you're going to hook a radio to it, there are none. I could be wrong, but I have a both Dash L, Dash R, and my regular call sign. And of course, haven't used the Dash L or Dash R for a while, but anyway, that's about all I know. I think I'm going to sit back in the woodwork here and listen and wait for my kid to bring home some food. KL3RH.
Yeah, fine business. I'll take you out that I did pause. I'm watching the Link radio that, I'm watching my RF rig up here tied into the M5ZG repeater, and because of lag, at least one time timed out on us. And leave a little buzz in the key ups to unkey, and all them little relays and switches and such to propagate folks. That way we don't time out anybody's equipment. And yeah, Phil, I think that Riley's explanation is a good one. It's a Dash L is a designation you apply for. What you use it for, on the other hand, is another story. They got Link radios and repeaters, just like you said, but a Dash L and a I don't think I applied for a Dash R, but I when I decided I was going to start being an interface for one of my radios, I decided to set the software and immediately found out that I had to go through the vetting process and get my call sign vetted all over again. So it's strictly a vetting process where you validate your call sign and that you are who you are, and the Dash L signifies that you're a Link radio. I lasted two whole calls before I had to put my two cents in. I'm a bad, bad guy. Alright. KF7UTR, Ed, I know you're going to make me feel like a slacker because you're working in the morning. You're probably still working right now, so go ahead and make me feel bad for taking an afternoon nap before we net tonight. KF7UTR, evening, my friend. This is Herb, AE51T, down in New Orleans, net control for the Handy Ham TechNet.
AE5YC, KF7UTR. And I'm going to be really nice to you, Herb, and I'm going to say that I am actually off work. So you're not slacking. I feel like I am, but that's okay. That's a whole different story. Sorry I didn't get to participate last week, guys. I did pick it up a little bit by little bit. My location last week was kind of in the middle of the business and barely any service, let alone 3G. So it's nice to eavesdrop, and dang, sounds like Jose's got a good one. Bill's got a good one, as usual. Everybody, have a great evening. I'm just going to sit in the background and listen and enjoy. And by the way, Herb, you got to get rid of that frog. You do not sound like yourself yet. You get better. KF7UTR, back to you.
Thanks, boy. The good news is I feel dramatically better than I said. Of course, last week you could not understand me, I'm sure. Couldn't understand myself, but I feel better. I took a little nap this afternoon. I've been in the bins with my grandkids this week. Excuse me. Do still have that frog out once in a while. I had a little nap this afternoon, got up and took a nice hot shower, and before the net started, I was telling everyone I'm sitting here like a 14-year-old, as I heard correctly. I have my 1974 vintage ARRL antenna book with the published price flowers on the front. I think the book was $3 and the freight was $5, so it only cost me double, but it's exactly as I remember it. And I remember poring over this book and furious calculating all the wondrous antennas that I would build as soon as I upgraded from my novice license and could get away from my simple 20-meter dipole that I used with my Heath radio, which was equipped with a VFO. I was not going to be rock battle. I'm throwing out old acronyms that you young whippersnappers probably don't even remember, but I can't hardly stand it. I found the book in the mail just before the net. As soon as the net's over, I'm going to start gently poring over the pages and reliving my childhood again. All right, well, Brad, you deserve a night off, so take her easy, kick back, and you'll be surprised. I know you will help us out. And Jose brought up a question that reminded me. Riley, did you ever work out your Windows XP install issue? If you told me it was one of those slid in one, and I must have cocked my head to one side, slid out the other. KL3RH, Riley, did you ever do that out? I'm curious now myself. AE5YC. Caught him already, laid the phone down, I guarantee. We'll come back around to Riley. All right, I'm at the list, so see who else got out there. I see we get people. Even Mr. Pat, the 0TA, hanging out there, and glad to see you on, Pat, and Woody in 5XCX. Y'all come on in and join the fun. This is the Curd Center Handy Ham Radio Club's Thursday Night TechNet, and the topics we have on the table right now are both Echolink related. Jose has a strange issue on his PC where if he presses a key in any app while Echolink is running, the audio pauses, and we're not sure why. And Phil0ETQ has some questions about the Echolink dash L. What's it by you? And all that good stuff. So anyone that would like to chime in, please do so. Those are the two questions so far. We'll take in general check-ins now. AE5YC, Herb, down in New Orleans, taking those check-ins. Go ahead.
KK4JZX with a possible comment for Phil's question.
Go ahead, and then I believe William doubled with you at the very tail end, or maybe at the same time, since his call jumped to the top as well. But we're being formal here, folks, so no worries. Woody, I'll get right back to you. And Jose, go ahead and go direct with chat amongst yourself. We'll all listen in. AE5YC, passing it over.
Actually, Herb, you guys are going to laugh, but I set up Echolink when I had no idea what I was doing. So all the laughing can come now. Oh, this is KK4JZX. From what I've been reading, the dash R gives you it means that you have your Echolink connected to a repeater, and the dash L means you're connected to a simplex frequency. But that's only available in sysop mode. When I first set up Echolink, I installed it in sysop mode and did all my settings in sysop mode, and it required that I do a dash L or dash R. I didn't do it in user mode. That was my lack of knowledge back then, and still, you know. So since I set it up in sysop mode, it required that I either put a dash L or a dash R. And that's the extent of what I know about setting up using dash L. It's a simplex versus a repeater. I don't know if that clears it up. KK4JZX.
That's a good explanation of it. And I only chuckled, actually, I did end up coughing. I was laughing so hard. No, I'm just kidding, Jose. Phil, I know it's going to be there's going to be more information that you'll get from more experienced folk than myself, for sure. Designations only. It doesn't get you anything other than it marks you as a link station, a simplex link that ties into Echolink, or a repeater that is tied into Echolink dash L and dash R. And again, Jose hit it on the head. I did once install the software in sysop mode, realized what I was, that I didn't have a clue what I was doing, went back and installed it regular. I have since applied and got my dash L designation to go with the standard designation, and I finished figuring out exactly how I'm going to make this interface that I'm tinkering up work. And hopefully you'll see both of those online from me. So, but let's pass it on down the line and see if some actually done it. As opposed to just, we got a poser here. I had to put the word as a poser. He's got his dash L. But it's just a name. What's in a name? Anyway, we're taking general check-ins. And Woody, I think you were checking in the same time as Jose, but come on in. The water's fine. AE5YC for the Courage Center Handy Hams Rick Club Thursday Night Net. Wow, that's a mouthful, and I never say it the same way twice. Taking check-ins now.
Kilo Delta Zero Papa Tango Mike.
Okay, N5XCX. Uncle Mike, we're catching a second there, buddy. I don't really have anything to add to the net. I was just wondering why, when JZX is stops, why it says end of transmission in the text box when he stops talking there. Kind of wondered about that. You might have Jose comment on that in a minute. But everything else should be going pretty good. My wife's got a good cold going on right now. And let's see. Down here in Mount Dorf,
is a rainy Thursday night, 74 degrees, which is nice and cool for Florida. But it's my grandson's fourth birthday today. And, of course, it rained on his little birthday party out in the park, but he didn't mind, you know. Being 4 years old, he didn't cry or nothing. I thought that was pretty neat. He just wanted to get those presents. So, y'all take it easy, and we'll talk to you later on. That's all I had. Bye.
Stick around, Woody, and I can answer for Jose, because I had the same question. Jose, of course, being the mad coder that he is, writing programs, he wrote a program that helps control the keying operation and coordinate the focus of his computer. And he's talking about doing a encompassing app that lets him control key and do call sign lookups and all kinds of cool stuff. And I'm going to be his manager when he's famous one of these days. Hi. So when he keys up, it's actually a program that he's written that keys up and it puts that in the text box. I'm not exactly sure why it puts it in the text box, but it does let people know that he's started talking, so it may cut down on the double ups, etc. Who knows? We'll let Jose tackle that when it comes back around. All right, Joseph or Joe, I'm not sure what you'd like to be called. I did take a quick instant to flip over and in QRZ. KD0, Papa Tango Mike, it's your turn on the net.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Joe up in Coon Rapids, Minnesota. And we're just kind of listening along. We're running a repeater over here up on this end. And you were also talking about the weather. Well, we had snow this morning here. It didn't really stay on the ground, but it was like 31 degrees this morning, rain, snow. And like I say, that inevitable time is coming up here. And I've lived with it for almost 70 years. And it's the same thing every year. I do not look forward to it. Back to you, sir.
Yeah, copy that, Joe. And the name is Herb here, Hotel Echo Romeo Bravo. And I'm down in New Orleans, Louisiana. And that's a four-letter word that we don't use, well, twice. I can remember in my 35-odd years in the New Orleans area that we've had snow. And holy cow, what a catastrophe. These folks can't drive on wet roads. If you give them snow and ice, all bets are off. Pull the children in, lock the doors, and hunker down. You don't want to be on the roads. I can tell you from personal experience, I grew up driving on snow and ice myself, and so it didn't really faze me if it didn't last time I tried. But down here, if we just have a good sprinkle of rain and let those holes bubble up to the surface off the roads, next thing you know, we got accidents everywhere. So we're pretty bad at dealing with inclement conditions on the roads down this way. So good luck to you if you're dealing with it. Somebody's got to, and it certainly isn't going to be me by choice. All right, I'm at the bottom of the list, and so we're looking for check-ins. And also, Riley, if you get back in there, Jose and I both are very curious as to whether you figured out that Win XP issue that was on the table last time I was around. I'm not sure where I was last Thursday. I think I was in Sick City. I missed completely. But if you could jump in and let know. And otherwise, this is the Handy Radio Club's Thursday Night TechNet. Taking comments, questions, hints, reviews, anything technical, or if you just want to say hi, you're welcome. We do this very informally and roundabout fashion. And so come on in. The water's fine. AE5YC, Herb, down in New Orleans, Net Control, taking check-ins now.
KD0NNE. Zero, YT Mobile.
All right, before we go on, let's take the mobile station. Did I get your call phonetically? I'm seeing Chris, but I think the repeater owner's name and call. So go ahead, sir, since you're mobile.
Kilowatt Bravo Zero, Yankee Tango Uniform Mobile. Personal is Neil, November Echo Alpha Lima. I'm on the 22094 repeater out of Minneapolis. Just bought to Alinta, and he just took the ball. And there's nothing really to add that I'm going to be on 1.25 meters. Oh, back to the net.
Well, fine business, Neil. Thanks for stopping in, monitor, and if you have anything you'd add, like to add, or any questions you can help answer. Right now, the two topics on the table are KK4JZX has an issue with Echolink pausing on his computer when he presses any key in any app, and it seems to hold the audio up. And Phil was, KD0ETQ, was to discuss the Echolink-L and-R designations, et cetera, and what the implications and benefits would be. I see Pat's in the text box, 044.65 machine strong, but times out due to the long transmissions. We need to leave a longer break in there, folks. I'm trying to leave a long break, so let me back here. And Jim and Crystal, KD0NNE, let's go up to you, AE5YC, net control.
Good evening, Herb, I think. Good evening, everybody on the net. KD0NNE, Jim from Crystal, Minnesota. So if I can help anybody on Echolink, I don't know that much about it. I do know that most of those applications like to run alone, so if it was me, I would put another computer in there, do what I needed to do on that, and just leave the Echolink for the radio. And my question tonight is I just went out and bought an old Sonix 1011B, as in boy, and I'm looking for schematics, because the ones I find on the net are pretty much junk. So if anybody can help, I'd appreciate it. KD0NNE, back to net.
I was making sure that the computer had a chance to drop. I'm watching the 8.2 repeater here locally. That gives me a little bit of a hint, but we want to make sure that we give a little break in between transmissions when we pass it over, because I know that the N5OZG repeater is timed out already once down here. Jim, what was the Siltronic model number so that I can copy it down? For some reason, my brain was in on the B as in boy. KD0NNE, go ahead.
Yeah, KD0NNE, 1011-1011-B Baker. And information I could get would be appreciated. Thank you.
All right. Jim from Crystal, KD0NNE, would like a little bit of guidance on finding some reasonably readable schematics. I know what you're talking about, and when you peruse the internet, it's amazing how many websites you find that want to sell you something, and you never know if you're going to actually get to where you to. But Siltronix 1011B is in Baker schematic information, so if anyone has any on those lines, and then chime in, and we'll keep that on the table. If we don't answer it this week, well, then maybe somebody during the week will come up with an answer. All right, I'm on the list, so taking check-ins for the Handy Ham Radio Club's Thursday Night Net. This is Herb. The call is Alpha Echo 5 Yankee Charlie, taking check-ins now for the net. Go ahead.
Kilo Delta Zip Papa Tango Mike for recheck. 1-0 Mike Alpha November.
All right. I got K0 Kilowatt Zero Mike Alpha November. And Papa Tango Mike. KD0 PTM. Joe, go ahead with your recheck.
Roger, Herb. That gentleman that's looked for schematics for a 1011 Delta, got schematics for it. As a matter of fact, I've got two 1011 Delta Comanches, and I've got the manuals for it that came with the you know, the radio and everything, and they're quite legible and everything. If that wasn't at all, I didn't know if he had the regular you know, the regular manual or not. Thank you, Herb.
Well, good deal. We appreciate that. Did you pick that up, Jim? KD0NNE. We've got Joe, KD0PTM, that has a full set of the real deal schematics. Go ahead.
Yeah, Roger. KD0NNE. Yeah, thanks, Joe. But I've got the E. Baker and D Dog is a whole different animal. It uses different output tubes, slightly different factron, and I believe it doesn't have the amount of frequency coverage for 10 meters that the earlier models did. I cover the whole thing from 28 to 29.5, and I think your sets are much smaller amount of coverage. But if you want to throw me an email at kd0ne@arrl.net, I think it's net, and let me know a phone number or something, I'd be more than happy to talk to you, and I would really appreciate any help I can get. KD0NNE, I'll be on the side listening.
Oh, Roger on that. I've got some I'd have to look up on the computer, but I got some websites that's got some schematics in that for the 1011 Bravo. I thought you meant the 1011 Delta, but anyway. And I've got schematics from these people, and they really, really work well. They're very, but I'll get a hold of you on the email, but so I'll get in touch with you. This is KD0PTM. We're clear. Back to net.
Excellent. Well, I hope that works out. And sorry I missed the Bravo-Delta difference there. Jose caught it and put it in the text box. My grandsons were getting home, and I got just looking over my shoulder, shooing them to the shack. My ex is with them in the other part of the house right now, and she's going to help fend them off for me as it gets closer to bedtime at 2000 hours. So, well, hopefully that helped out, and you can find the 1011B Bravo schematics there, Jim. And that'll be interesting. I like working on the old equipment model. All right, we've got Kilo Zero Mike Alpha November. Your turn on the net, sir. Go ahead.
Good evening, K0MAN. It was Jim Juliet, India. Mike, and I was just kind of wondering if anybody had had any experience with I've got a little Kushka R7000 vertical that's above my chain link fence and my rain gutters, and I was just wondering if anybody had any experience at bonding them all together, using them as a counterpoise. Just looking for input on that. I've scanned the internet about that and haven't been able to find anything, but it seems like quite worse to not use it, K0MAN.
Yeah, copy that, Jim. Definitely would hate to see that go to waste. And what was that? You said it was a Cushcraft? I'm sorry, now I have a barking dog in my ear. The discussions are never ending. What was the manufacturer of the R7000 vertical? Go ahead.
Right, Cushcraft R7000 vertical. It's 10 through 40 meters. It just got a lot of noise on, and for HF, and I was just wondering if anybody had any experience bonding their rain gutters and chain link fence together to create some sort of counterpoise. That's just really what I'm looking for.
Gotcha. Yeah, the Cushcraft R7000 vertical, and looking for counterpoise recommendations. Gutters, I shouldn't stick my two cents in, especially this early on. Seemed like they'd be a little too high, though. I would think you might want to get them a little bit closer to ground level. But anyone that has any recommendations on grounding for a vertical, potential alternatives to, I'm presuming the traditional ground radio in and out is an issue for you there, Jim. Back over to you, 85YC Net Control.
80MAN. Yeah, that is an issue. I have rain gutters. Antenna is on the roof, and I was just wondering if I spent the time bonding all that together, and the property is again surrounded with some 4 foot, some 6 foot chain fence, and if I bonded all that together to the tripod base of the antenna, if it was going to be worth my time. Just wondering if anybody had any experience with that.
All right, well, anyone out there with any experience with potential grounding options for grounding vertical, in particular he's grounding a Cushcraft R7000, then we'd love to hear from you. And I know Jim K0MAN would love to hear from you, but we'll pass that around. And Jim, if we don't find an answer this week, then perhaps by next week, I'll keep the logs on all this, and maybe somebody will hear and have an aha moment and come up with a suggestion for you. So thanks for checking in with the net, and stick around. Hopefully, if you don't hear an answer for your question, you might be able to answer somebody else's. So we really appreciate you showing up. My name is Herb. My call is 85YC. I am net controller tonight for the Handy Ham Radio Club Thursday Night TechNet, and we're taking check-ins. So, anyone that would like to check in, now's a good time to do it. Go ahead.
K3NFU, Eden Isles, Slidell, checking in.
K3NFU, I believe I caught it correctly, down in Eden Isles. I used to live in your neck of the woods. I lived on a sailboat there in Oak Harbor. Beautiful area over there, at least pre-Katrina. That's where I was at when it hit, or that's where my boat was at. Go ahead, give us your name if you would, and this is a TechNet, so if you have any questions, comments, hints, tips, anything, antennas, feed lines, radios, computers, hardware, software, it's all welcome. So go ahead, sir. It's your turn.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I've been having fun here. I've been rebuilding an old local power supply for my old KTS for 30 years tonight, which is pretty much tantamount to destroying the darn thing. But I've been having fun. I got a 20-amp Radio Shack 12-volt power supply that powers my HF rig just as well as this old boat anchor does. But I've been having a wonderful time listening to the games on 40 and checking in and pulling this thing apart. Contact. I am by no means a technical expert relative to the gentleman who was asking about a ground system of his vertical antenna. I've got a brand new vertical in my backyard, getting it with 140 feet of brand new coax. I got a radio system out. I have an 8 foot ground rod down into Lake Pontchartrain, and I'm pretty much given up on vertical antennas. They're just too picky. And so, you need all the stuff. You lay out like 32 radials in the ground and all of that stuff and all of that, and then it should work. I've not been able to tune this piece of junk with a very good tuner on 42 meters. I'm still going to try because it's fun to try. That's what we do as amateurs. But I've always had much better luck, I'm sorry about your vertical, with a simple old piece of junk 40 meter dial. Bottom is fed with some half inch back. I bought the wire elements at a hardware store, Big Sense Wire. Best antenna I ever had. I know the gentleman who was trying to figure out how to get his vertical to work properly is going to hate me for saying this, but forget it. K3NFUE Niles.
This is K0MAN, Mike Alpha November, handle is Jim Juliet India Mike. I've had good luck with the R7000, made a number of contacts, and it has pretty good for me. I do have a inverted D on 80 at about 65 feet and a 40 meter delta loop at the same level, but the vertical is, I don't know, it seems to pick up things that the others don't, and I've never really had any trouble tuning it to frequency to get it to work, but I was just wondering, looking the other day, walking around here, and saw all that rain gutter and aluminum rain gutter and all the chain link fencing, and just wondered if anybody had ever bonded it all together and gotten any, you know, counterpoise effect out of it. So, it's just I'm sorry you haven't had a good experience with it. Net Control there has been living on a sailboat, so I used to be a marine electronics technician. All you can use on boats is a vertical with a base antenna tuner, ICOM antenna tuner to a Shakespeare fiberglass rod with a piece of copper wire inside, and work the world with that sitting on a steel boat. All right, thanks for input. I'll be by for the side there.
Jim, you're right there. I spent a number of years as a marine electronics tech myself, worked with the exact same gear, and the only harder thing was working with the fiberglass boats, and there's nothing like crawling around the woods with copper sheeting to get a reasonable ground plane, but I had a significant range on modest sideband rigs, not on the ham bands, but on the maritime frequencies, even down in the edge of what we would consider 160 or close to 160, 2182, the international calling frequencies, loading up a whip. So they can work, but I also agree with Roy that they're more prone to noise. I'm asking at a couple of new antenna projects. I'm going to get together a double bazooka for Sixers to play with this new radio that I've got, new to the East. And I've heard that band-wise and noise-wise, the double bazooka did a job. But I also have a, believe it or not, a bug catcher apartment antenna that I started off with, and I first found that the trimming of the counterpoise was absolutely critical. If I got my poise set, I could tune that antenna, and considering how small it is, all of that, it did a remarkable job of working, and I am to repurpose it as blue antenna at a point in the future.
0NNE, recheck.
KD0NNE, Jim and Crystal. Go ahead there, Jim.
Yeah, thanks, sir. KD0NNE. Yeah, you guys are talking on sailboats. I was under the impression that a decent-sized sailboat, you could use the standing and running rigging as a few insulators in there as inverted V dipoles and do pretty good with that. Secondly, the trimming of your counterpoise, if you get one of MFJ what are they, automatic rounds or holdback? Artificial round, you can get your clays with that. You don't have to cut the thing. Katie's with me. I'll be on the side listening.
Roger, I've actually looked at those artificial cowboys with some curiosity. The artificial always kind of tosses me off. It just amazed me what a difference it made having a single piece of wire strung out that was cut to a reasonable approximation of quarter wave, and then to a bug catcher. It really made a difference, not just with the standing wave, but with the actual function of it, how it worked. And as a sailor, I absolutely have had the backstay in particular used as an antenna, but I'm very, very nervous, especially on blue sailing, because, of course, that has to be electrically insulated in order for it to accomplish its intended purpose. And I like a big chunk of iron up there myself, or steel, technically speaking. I've always shied away from using the stand-in rigging as antenna because, as far as I was concerned, the most important thing it did was to keep that big tall pole top of my head up so that I didn't have to worry about it falling down, and especially at an inopportune time. I have seen them work with great success, or with success, I should say. Anytime you're on a fiberglass boat, there's some compromise. And inverted V would be an interesting proposition, but again, you're doubling up on the potential for a failure point. So, but it is done, and you are very correct, sir, as somebody said in history on TV. And in the meantime, we've got KK4JZX that wants to toss a question out. Be sure and leave a pause so that we don't time out the equipment, gentlemen. So I'm going to unkey, and then Jose, KK4JZX, go ahead and toss out your question. AE5YC, Nick.
Oh, yeah, I heard about KK4JZX. This question might actually turn out to be over several nets. It's not a question I think that can be answered in one net, I believe. I'm about to take my general exam for the general license, and I'm going to be taking several trips in the next year or so, and it's going to be in in the jungle, out in the wilderness. So sometimes we don't have telephone service, and I'm going to need some way to communicate. I'm looking to build a go kit that is portable, waterproof, and because the nearest repeater is over 35 miles away, there's no way I'm going to be able to get to it with just an HT. So I've got to work through configuring something that I'm going to be able to use while on the river paddling, and that I can protect from the weather as well, while I'm stopped and camped out. So I know it's a long thing, a long discussion that can be had about that, but you know, anything about how to build something like that would be great. KK4JZX.
Hey, Jose, you definitely set yourself a tall order. Any one of those elements is not too bad a hurdle to climb, but when you lump them all together, it's getting dicey, and especially if you don't want to start buying high-end equipment. We talked about this on your last canoe trip, though, you know, some of the stuff that we had talked about, but anyone that's got any suggestions, I know there's guys that do backing, but they're away from water. Their biggest concern is lightweight and battery longevity, so they're running QRP on HF. But anybody out there that's got any input, please chime on in for a recheck. In the meantime, I'm at the bottom of the list, so we are at 8:07 Central Time, but as long as you gentlemen would like to chit-chat and the repeater owners don't complain, then we'll keep it rolling. So looking for check-ins to the Handy Ham Radio Club's Thursday Night TechNet. My name is Herb. My call is Alpha Echo 5 Yankee Charlie. And, I am down here in New Orleans. Can't remember whether I said that or not. Just go around. And so we're taking check-ins. Anyone with a general check-in, comments, questions, suggestions, reviews, hints, tips, anything of a technical nature, come one, come all. We're taking your check-ins now.
N5XDX, we check.
KJ6ZKC.
I got Woody with a recheck and Mike checking in. Go ahead there, Woody, and then we'll jump back and take care of Michael. N5XX, your turn.
Okay, well, I'm going to make a couple of comments here. That gentleman that was asking if he could ground to his fence or make ground radials out of his fence and guttering, I don't see a problem with that. But I would, vertical, I understand a vertical is a lower angle of radiation. And so for, so you can, you should be able to pick up skip much further away, like 10, 15 meters, which is not, which hasn't been real good here lately. On the lower band, like 80 and 40 and what is it, 5 megacycles now, or megahertz, I still can't get over that. I know it was 30 years ago when they made that change, but still. On the lower band, will radiate equally poor in all directions, okay? But on the higher bands, it works great. It works much higher, 20 and up, I'd say. 20, 15, 10, or 20 down, whatever. Anyway, I would go ahead and do two things, though. I would add at least 3 more underground radials. Have to be very far underground, just far enough so the lawnmower won't chop them up, like 2 or 3 inches, something like that. I personally, when I had my gap vertical, let me buy a nickel just a second. Don't want to time out. When I had my gap vertical, I used a pencil and just dug a little, half inch or down trench and ran my wire along that. But anyway, I would do 3 more ground radials besides that, and then I would get to know somebody and that has MFJ analyzers. Either that or a good SW meter or whatever, And so you can really tell if you're, what kind of radiation you are putting out there. Okay. As far as Jose still goes, I've been thinking about that. Jose, hang on just a second. Again. Jose, I think your best bet would be to get a single bander to rig, either a 40 meter or one of those channelized rigs that work a 5 megahertz band. There I go again. Okay, but I think that would be your best bet. You can throw a wire dipole in the trees, you know, and go to town with that sucker. Of course, you'd get out better using CW, but you know, it's all right with voice also, you know. And you can, you know, you can put a single bander. They're not much bigger than an HT. Unfortunately, I don't know brand names offhand, but I'm sure you can find some. And you can backpack them, but it's like Herb said. I think your biggest problem is going to be the battery. You know, but you never can tell. I mean, you might be able to for a budding build, you know, you might be able to work out something with solar panels. You never can tell. Okay, that's all I've got to say. This is N5XCX, and I'm sticking by this story. Bye now.
Fine business, Woody. That's what it's all about. And, Jim, K0MAN, the biggest thing that I agree with Woody on that is the proof of the pudding's in the eating. So I would seriously consider experiment and just see how it works. Of course, you got to get an SWR that matches so you don't have your, depending on the transmitter, have it either cut the power down or blow something up. But, you know, cut and try. Who knows? It's all with it. But somebody else has probably got even better opinion than I do, for sure. First, let's hear from Michael. KJ6, ZKC, it's your turn on the net.
Well, Herb, it's good to hear you again, and I hope you're feeling much better, by the way. This is Mike out here in Silicon Valley. This ties into a question or two that I have, and let me pause here for a second. The question has to do with, I think, Herb, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago that I came in late on the net, and we talked about preparedness. But in line with that, what should I do since I'm a new ham and there's an emergency? I'm trying to get my Raven Go kit together. You know, I have some other things that I would need. And I'm disabled anyway and use a motorized wheelchair, but that's another story. How do I protect my license and all the other important papers that I need just in case the FCC wants to see them as an emergency or something like that? And I'm also going after a general class ticket here, hopefully to have that, if not by the end of the year, the beginning of next year. So I'll throw that question out, and maybe somebody can answer that for me. I will be listening on the side. KJ6, ZKC, back to you.
Good to hear you back in there again, Michael. Yes, I definitely feel better. I don't sound 100%, but I feel 1,000% better. And here I go again, sticking my 2 cents in. Having spent a good bit of time on the water, I can tell you that nothing keeps out water forever or protects it, but layers work better. I'm on the water, passports and licenses and things that I would not want to lose in bags and bags and bags, as many layers deep as I can get, and generally don't get too much damage. But I'm sure that there's a lot of other good suggestions out there. They even have some products on the market, I'm sure. So we'll pass it around. Golly, I think this is our first time of not having wrapped around yet to the top of the list. This has been they're always fun, but they're always different. That's cool. All right, so let's see. I'm at the bottom of my list. Let's see if we have any other check-ins, and if not, then we will finally wrap around to the top. And believe me, I'm discouraging new check-ins. Happy to have them. This is the Courage Center, Handy Ham Radio Club's Thursday Night TechNet, and we're talking antennas, feed lines, transmitters, receivers, hardware, software, computers, anything of a technical nature, or if you just want to stop in and say hi, you're more than welcome to. My name is Herb. My call is Alpha Echo 5 Yankee Charlie, and I'm based out of the Big Easy, New Orleans, Louisiana. So do we have any other check-ins? If so, go ahead.
ID0NME recheck.
Yeah, IDZQ.
All right, we got Jim, KD0NNE with a recheck, and my good friend Rick, KA5DQ down in southern Louisiana. Before I get to you, Rick, real quick, let's get with Jim and see. He might have something else that relates on this. So, KD0NNE, go ahead.
Thanks. This is for Jose. He's talking 35 miles or perhaps 40, and he doesn't think a 2-meter handheld will do it, and I kind of tend to disagree with him. I think it gets like a VX8. It's waterproof. It puts out a solid 5 watts. You can get other batteries for it and keep them charged. They're Li ion, and they don't discharge very fast. And I built a ham universe antenna that was a takedown dipole, and I assembled it out of half-inch copper pipe and PVC, the PVC stuff that I can put it under my arm and aim the thing like a rifle. And I know it works from the inside of a trailer house 30 or 30 some miles here in town. And I got to assume water, it will be quite a bit better. And it's definitely worth thinking about or going out and trying. That's about all I've got. 80NNE back to net.
Yeah, Jim, that's a good suggestion and a novel approach. I like that. I know they has tinkered up some ideas with VHF last time. We bounced this around on his canoe trip. I'm not sure what terrain he's going to be in. We're going to circle back up here in a minute probably, and if Jose, you want to jump in before then, go on ahead with the recheck. In the meantime, let's come on down to my neck of the woods, Blackman's Parish, where you really start to get down to southern territory. Rick's probably 10 degrees warmer where he's at than where I'm at. KA5EZQ. Good evening, Rick. It's Jern on the tent. Go ahead.
Okay, this is KA5EZQ. Rick, 10 degrees warmer, but maybe sometime or 2 degrees. Be that as it may, I've been listening for a few minutes trying to get in. Hi. The way to protect sheets of documents, personally, I emanated my license for them. As an alternative, you can just stick the full sheet into a standard tape protector and then over the end of it. That will keep water out of it for quite some time. Won't take submerged for days time, but just splashing on it, even dropping it overboard, as long as you can grab it fairly quickly, that'll protect it. Let me reset here for a second. That being said, if you're in a mobile application, an outside antenna will work wonders, and you might be able to reach 30 miles or so with an omnidirectional antenna. 5 watts, iffy. Maybe if the other antenna is up pretty high and pretty sensitive, yeah. Mobile to mobile, probably not if you're going through a repeater. A directional antenna, as was I think mentioned, they probably go in one direction. Of course, Yagis have a tendency to do that. Loops have not quite as great a propensity for that, but they still do that to an extent. So, yeah, if you go to an outboard antenna, it's very possible to, get sufficient range to reach 30, 40, even miles. Depends on how high up you can get the antenna and a few other factors, but that's basically it. That's about all I've got. Back to you, Nick. control, KA5EDQ.
Well, sure, appreciate it, Rick. Rick's got a long, long career in communications and electronics, a lot of good info to put in. So hopefully you can make some more of these Thursday tech nets, Rick. I don't know why, but for some reason you were keyed up fine on the N5OZG repeater, but we missed the first, golly, at least 3 seconds or a minute, well, not a minute, time drags when I know that we're not getting you. For some reason we didn't catch the very first part of it, but I thought at least 80% of what you had to say. So I'm not sure what happened there, but it did lop off the preamble to what you had to say. But very good advice all in all. KVZQ is he's got good military background and strong background with the teachers in the Crescent City Amateur Radio Group classes that we put on, and we did have 75% pass ratio, so definitely doing his job, and good job of it. Excellent hearing from Rick, and like I say, don't be a stranger. Come around the Tech Nets every Thursday night. I'm going to try and get in and connect in, and if anybody else here that's local hears me and wants to connect it in, I don't think Joe minds. If he does, he's not bashful, he'll tell me. But we have a ball here. In any event, I'm at the bottom of the list. Put out another call for new check-ins. This is the Handy Ham Radio Club's Thursday TechNet. My name is Herb. The call is AE5YC. Go ahead and check in now.
This is WA0TDA.
Hello, Pat. How are you doing this fine evening? Welcome to the TechNet. I've saw you lurking there in the background. Knowing you, you're working away studiously. You would make a bee feel like a slacker. You and Brad, I get tired just thinking about the amount of stuff that you get done. Holy cow, I'm stacking it up deep, aren't I? WA0TDA, it's your turn on the net.
Okay, well, thank you, Herb. Well, what I was doing was I was getting a guy set up in the my base station. I've got my ICOM IC7200 set up as a remote base here, using the W4MQ software, as I think I let you know that, I think. And actually, you might have access to it, too. I think I did put you in the configuration file. Anyway, so a fellow from St. Louis who has kind of limited antenna space, and not a handy ham guy, but just needed to use a radio, so I got him set up, and hopefully he can figure out how to enter all the stuff in the client software. So I sent him a screenshot, though, so I think he'll do okay. One observation about Echolink audio is that Echolink is a very funny application when it comes to picking the audio device. Let's see if I still got it. Yep, I do. And it may very well not work unless you set the default audio device to be whatever you want to use with Echolink, and then just let Echolink have the default setting. Sometimes it just refuses to pick from the drop-down list, even though it says it's using a different device. And for Jose, I might suggest if he's got problems with sound interfering with Echolink, maybe use a USB headset for Echolink and set it for default. All right, that's my 2 cents. WA0TDA.
Fine business, Pat, and we appreciate all the hard work that you do making the wheels on the bus go round and round here. There's a lot that goes on in the background, and I know you do a lot of it, so we appreciate it. If the gentleman that you set up on the remote base needs any additional help, you're more than welcome to forward him my email address, and I can TeamViewer connect in and help him set it up, or we'll get to give him a hand. So don't hesitate. That's why I got my contact information out there. All right. Well, we're at the hour and a half marker coming on it, so let's take our last check-ins, and we'll circle back on and see if there's anybody else that has any other comments. And if not, then we'll tie a ribbon on this one. This is the Courage Center Handy Ham Radio Club's Thursday Night Tech. My name is Herb, and my call is Alpha Echo 5 Yankee Charlie. I'm down in the Big Easy, New Orleans, Louisiana. So we're taking check-ins to the TechNet now. Get them while they're hot. All right, I think we ran through the entire list, so let's go back to the top. Jose, I called on you first, so it's been a long circle, but I think the back and forth has worked out really well. So any other comments, questions, anything you want to toss out there? KK4JZX, go ahead.
This is KK4JZX. Thank you very much to Jim and the other folks that provided suggestions for my for my trip. Definitely going to be trying some of those things, and hopefully I'll get it ironed out before I get too old to even paddle down the river. Yeah, and Pat, I've got a USB headset that I use for Echolink. The thing is that this thing started just recently, and I don't know what it is, and it's as I've been listening here tonight, it's gotten worse and worse as the night goes by. So I'm for my next TechNet, I'm moving to my laptop. See if that makes a difference until I figure out what's going on with this particular computer. I do have to tell you guys that something very disturbing happened to me. Although I had this problem before this thing happened. Let me break and I'll come back. KK4JZX, something very disturbing happened to me, and you guys might want to watch out for this. I was downloading a file from SendSpace, okay, and I made the mistake of using the SendSpace downloader tool, which is an executable file, which I got from SendSpace, okay. Downloaded that, and double-clicked on it, and it installed the... It honestly, I don't know how it did it, but it came up and installed. And then what happened after was incredibly disturbing to me. Two applications were installed on my computer, one of which was a search engine, and then another one was the weather bug. And quite frankly, I don't know how they got there, but that happened as the minute I downloaded that app from SendSpace. So I'm very disturbed by that, and that SendSpace would be doing something like that. But that's pretty much it. That's the comment I wanted to make about that. My computer's been like that since a couple of weeks ago, and I can't quite put my finger on it. I do have a headset, and I'll turn it back to NetControl. AE5YC, this is KK4JZX.
I'll roger that, Jose. There's nothing that makes me feel more... violated on my computer than to have unwanted software installed. So, that's very frustrating and maddening. I hate it happens. Thanks so much for running alternate for me tonight and picking up the nets on the times when I've been on the road, under the weather, or in any other shape or form disposed. And thanks for suggesting the TechNet. Applause for Jose. It was his drive that got this going, and he's putting a lot of man hours into the W4MQ software, so we appreciate all the work that you're doing as well, Jose. And so let's go down to Phil 80TQ. Phil, we didn't get definitive information, but I can tell you from experimenting with it, the -L, the -R are designations. It doesn't buy you anything. It's to register it. If you want to set up a simplex link where you know you can walk around with a hand key and connect to Echolink through your own and use the or anyone else could use it as well. You can set up a radio, connect it in a sysop mode. It's just a different way of installing the software, and you give it the -L designation. And the dollars is a repeater, again, you tie it. I think all of that has to be vetted by the Echolink group. So if you plan on setting up a link at some point, go ahead and suggest and get it done early. I just fine handled. But that's all it is. It's just a designation. It doesn't accomplish anything in and of itself. It takes the hard way to get it done. So anything else you got there, Phil? KDETQ, E5YC, net control.
Yeah, E5YC, 0ETQ. No, that's kind of it. You know, taking it further, what I was wondering, well, one thing I found out, I didn't know that you could go ahead and put in for the NSL and not do anything. You know, I thought it had. I've gone to some places, I'm not sure what they were, but I know I've gone in and connected to some places, and they told me they only accept my NSL. I've gone to some places like most is on Echolink. Come in, they say no minus L or minus R. So, but yeah, I thought once you put a minus L or R in, you didn't finish what you were doing. Apparently you don't, I guess, you know. But if you do, I guess a part of what I was wondering is if you do put a link so you can use an HT to Echolink. What exactly did you need? You know, do you need two HTs? You know, you need an HT that's set on a frequency, or your unit set on a frequency, or the software, is there software you use? So that's what kind of was taking it further, I guess. But no, you could, you know, have a minus cell and not really do anything with it. So that's about all I got. So back to you, AE5YC, and then that Zero Echo Tango.
Roger, Phil. You just give us a cliffhanger for next week, and we can fill in some blanks, I'm sure. There will be more folks with more information on there. I can see why some conferences wouldn't want a DAL or a dash R in there, because if you have a radio connected, either a simplex link or a repeater, then you would be rebroadcasting their conference. And while I don't do a whole lot of perusing around Echolink, I do know that everybody has their own preferences, and sometimes it's set in stone. They won't budge from it. So, next week when Jose's the net controller, I've got some questions I'm going to throw out there, because I am working on my own link as well. And, you just change the login information on your Echolink and take it out of sysop mode if you're not using that particular computer. Just a quick answer on that. At least that's what I did. But anyway, you got good information for next week. Thanks for checking in, Phil. We'll probably be winding this down, send down the list, and if someone's got something that they really need to jump in, we'll just tie a ribbon on it as we go down through the line. So thanks for showing up tonight and putting some good stuff out there. All right, K8HSY, Ronald, any other comments from the net? It's your turn. Kilo 8, Hotel Sierra Yankee, Ronald, you still around? I must have had to drop out there, but we appreciate you showing up, Ronald. Riley, KL3R8, you still hanging around there, buddy? Give us any final pearls of wisdom, if so. KL3RH, AE5YC, net control. I see how it's going to go. I know. It's okay. We don't mind. We really don't. KF7, UTR, Brad, still hanging around out there in Washington. AE5YC here.
Hey, if I wait a minute, KF7 UTR. Yes, I did hang around like a couple of people. Hey, I just want to say goodnight so you can wrap it up and get that voice still on the mend. Well, good evening, KF7 UTR.
Thanks a lot, Brad. Appreciate you showing up, hanging out with us each week. We like the regulars and the newcomers alike. I find this very interesting, and it adds a nice twist onto Echolink and the hobby in general. So you have a good one. Take care, my friend. Joe, KD0, PTM, are you still around? If so, it's your turn. I'm catching a little barrier once in a while coming in on the BBE repeater. It might have been Joe. That's you, we're not getting you. If you want to try one more time, KD0, PTM, go ahead. Nothing heard. Still appreciate everyone that showed up. N5XCX, Woody, are you in the building, or has Elvis left? N5XCX, 85YC, Nick, go ahead. All right, Jim and Crystal, 0NNE. Jim, you about the place? 85YC.
Yes, sir. I'm still around. I said I was going to listen, and I listen until the lights go out. KD0NNE, I will be on the side listening, and thanks for all the help.
Jim, for showing up, and look forward to having you in here next week when Jose's running the net and I get to sit on the side and tinker and play. He can have the illustrious honor of running the net, and I get to ask more and more questions. Oh, looks like I was doubled up with KA0KMJ. Wow, I need new bifocals. AE5YC, net control for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Go ahead. Guess not. All right. Well, again, look forward to hearing you next week, Jim. Thanks for stopping by. Neil, Kilo Bravo Zero, Yankee Tango Uniform. You still with us? Down the list we go. Kilo Zero, Mike Alpha November, Jim. You still around? AE5YC, net control. All righty. We got Roy. Kilo 3, November Foxtrot Uniform, over in beautiful Eden Isles. And I mean beautiful. It's a gorgeous area. I love it over there in Oak Harbor. Roy, you still hang around? If so, it's your turn for any final comments. Nothing heard. KJ6, ZKC, Michael. I think you've mentioned the prep kit before. We might talk and see if we can get a few people together. I have some interest, as I mentioned before. Jose's traveling prep kit. Three's a group, right? Are you still around there, Michael? KJ6 says ZKC. If so, it's your turn.
Hi. Yes, I'm still here. Hey. Yeah, that sounds great. I would enjoy that very much. I know I'm getting a lot of information tonight. Let me pause for a second. So that's about all I have to say. But I really appreciate the SnecNet. And I was just thinking about the fact that AARL does something really great for those of us that are partially sighted or blind, and I do some stuff, but I won't quote the price that they gave, but since I can't read the material, all I had to pay for more price, and that's pretty cool because I'm a full-fledged member, and that's important. So kudos to AARL, if I can get right here. Yeah, my tongue is something else sometimes, but for now, I'll be around. Listening on, this is KJ6. Back to you, Herb.
Yeah, fine business. I appreciate you showing up for the net and come back next for the Thursday Tech. And we'll keep the prep conversation going. As I say, I have some interest self. I just recently picked up this ACP100, which one of the nice things about it is I can carry it, as opposed to boat anchors that I know and love so much. My big old Kenwood, I would have to have a little red wagon to drag behind me to go with me. And as much as I love them, they're a little bit on the weight side. But interesting conversation all in all. All right, back down to Plaquemines, and let's see if Rick's around. KA5, EZQ, Rick, any final comment? Are you still there, my friend? Go ahead. All right, Rick's got his irons in a lot of fires. He's in Aries, and he works liaison with the parish down south of here. he's participating a lot in that, so, and besides that, I gotta live with him, so I get ass for sure. WA0TDA, if you're still around, any final thoughts before we tie a ribbon on tonight's net? If so, it's your turn.
No, Herb, I'm about Lister. I was thinking about going up and maybe watching the early news or something. So that's probably what I'll do. I'm just finishing up looking at things on the computer here, and then I'm gonna head right up. WA0TDA.
A fine business. Thanks for hanging around. And I did get to mention or remind anyone that's listening, this weekend is the Worldwide CQ Contest, and they're really warming up, and there's a lot of interesting calls out there. I've been tinkering with 20, 40, and even some 15 meters over the last 2 days, and it's going to be a wild and woolly weekend, I do believe. So if you got access to a HF rig, it should be fun. I've seen antennas, as I say, that are worth more than anything I own combined that set up just for this event down in some foreign countries. So anyway, it should be a fun weekend. All right, well, I am at the bottom of the list, and so we're going to tie a ribbon on the Courage Center Handy Ham Radio Club's Third Night TechNet. I want to thank all the repeat riders and sysops that make all this possible. Thank all the folks at the Courage Center. Everyone who participates is very, we thank you with heartfelt thanks. There you go. I knew I could spit it out. I'm getting tired myself. Everyone have a wonderful evening, and we'll catch you on the net tomorrow, hopefully, for the noonday net, or the midday net, 11 Central Time. This has been the Courage Center Handy Ham Radio Club's Thursday Night Tech Net, and we are now returning all equipment normal operating parameters, 73s all, and have a good evening. AE5YC, clear.